بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ميراث الأنبياء ويب سايت is pleased to present the recording of a lesson in English titled تربية lessons from the month of Ramadan delivered by أستاذ عباس أبو يحيى حفظه الله تعالى during the blessed month of Ramadan in the year 1445 after Hijra. We ask Allah to make it a source of benefit for all.
من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدع وكل بدعة دلالة وكل دلالة في النار أما بعد. We begin as always by mentioning the خطبة الحاجة, which is the خطبة that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to begin with. He used to recite this to his companions whenever he would give a khutbah or a lesson, a reminder to teach the people. He would begin with this khutbah, the khutbah al-hajah. And this was to prepare the people for what he was about to say, tell them, to prepare their nafs, prepare their soul, to take in the information that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was teaching them about their religion, the Deen of Islam. And this Khutbat al-Hajah is authentically narrated in the books of Hadith, like Sunan Abi Dawood and other books. And it was revived again by the great scholar, one of the greatest scholars that ever walked on the face of the planet, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. It was revived by him, so you'll find a lot in the Majmu'ah Fatawa, the collection of Ibn Taymiyyah's Fatawa. You'll find this Khutbat al-Hajah being written, mentioned many times. And likewise in our time, the great scholar that revived the Khutbat al-Hajah, the practice of the Sunnah, the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was the great scholar of Hadith, Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah al-jami'. He revived this aspect of mentioning the Khutbat al-Hajah, so much so that even the people who are not on the Sunnah have started practicing the Sunnah of mentioning the Khutbat al-Hajah. This is khair kathir. This is much goodness. The Khutbat al-Hajah is, indeed all praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His aid, and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own selves and from the evil of our own actions. Whomsoever Allah misguides, there is none to guide him. And whoever is misled, then there is none that can guide him. And I testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has no partners, and that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. After that, the best speech is the book of Allah azza wa jal, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sharra al-amuri, the worst of all the matters are the newly invented matters in worship. And every newly invented matter in worship is an innovation, bid'ah. And every innovation is misguidance. And every misguidance leads to the hellfire. دروس التربوية من شهر رمضان. The training, cultivation, educational lessons from the month of Ramadan by our brother, the Sheikh, Dr. Muhammad ibn Ghalib al-Amri, حفظه الله. And in this book, it's a small risala where he collected many benefits that we gain from the month of Ramadan. And the chapter, the title is Coming Closer to Allah and Seeking Refuge with Him. Coming Closer to Allah and Seeking Refuge with Him. So the Shaykh begins, the month of Ramadan is the month of dua and seeking refuge and turning to Allah Ta'ala. So this shows us that here the Shaykh is mentioning about the month of Ramadan being the month of dua. Every month we make dua, every day we try to make dua, but in Ramadan we make dua more so because our iman is higher. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. And we know that dua is worship, is ibadah. It's not an action that we just do, requesting Allah, or seeking refuge with Allah, turning to Allah, but rather it is worship, ibadah. As is mentioned from the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu, from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, Ad-du'a al-ibadah, or huwa al-ibadah in some narration. Dua is worship. And then the Prophet ﷺ recited a verse in the Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ عُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord said, call on me, invoke me, and make dua, ask me for anything. I will respond to your dua. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ عُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And you call on me and I will respond to your dua. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ إِبَادَتِي. And those who scorn are too proud for my worship. And you don't call upon me. سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. And they will surely enter hellfire in humiliation. This is in Surah Ghafir, Ayah 60. This narration is collected by Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Sheikh Al-Albani, authenticated in Sahih Al-Jami'. So this hadith and the verse in the Quran from the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that dua is ibadah. Dua is worship. Yani when we make dua to Allah, that we get a reward for it. We get a reward for making dua. Subhanallah, look at the deen of Islam. How Allah Azza wa Jal is so merciful. The great reward for even requesting something from Allah. The great reward that we get rewarded for requesting, asking Allah for something. So dua is worship. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, dua is worship. And he quoting the hadith. Then he said, worship is built upon the sunnah and following the messenger, and not upon desires and innovating. Worship is built upon the sunnah. This is ibadah. This is worship. Not what the people come and tell us without any proofs and evidence. The deen of Allah is based upon the kitab and the sunnah, the sources, the text from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revelation. Worship is built upon the sunnah and following the messenger, and not upon desires and innovating. Indeed, Allah is worshipped with that which He has legislated. He is not worshipped with desires and innovations. So we can only worship Allah in the way that Allah wants to be worshipped. We can only worship Allah in the way Allah wants to be worshipped. We can't decide for ourselves from our experience, from our sheikh, or from our custom, or from our village, or from our country, of what is worship. Rather, worship is that which has been legislated in the Sunnah, how the Prophet told us to worship Allah. Because this is the only way that Allah can be worshipped. Allah is worshipped with how He wants to be worshipped, and not based upon desires and innovations. So this month is a month of making dua and turning to Allah. So Sheikh Muhammad Ghalib, he says, so the worshipper knows that he is destitute to his Lord, and he is in need of his Lord, in need of him, not able to do without him. He seeks aid with his Lord to be able to fast the month of the month and pray during it, make dua to Allah and have hope in him. So this is a beautiful time in the month of Ramadan, when our iman is clicked in and higher, that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we make dua to Allah with sincerity and we ask Allah for goodness, our du'as are answered, du'as are responded. Allah answers our du'as, and we know that we have a need of Him. That's why this whole aspect of du'a is very important, that a Muslim is in need of his Lord, that he cannot do without his Lord. Everything that he has is from Allah. So the Muslim, he doesn't say, oh, look what I have achieved. He doesn't say, look at my qualifications. He doesn't say, look at my skills. Look how good I am. Rather, he returns all of these matters back to his Creator, to Allah, because Allah gave him those things. So he seeks aid with his Lord to be able to fast the month of Ramadan. So we ask Allah, give us the ability to fast this month of Ramadan, and give us the ability to pray during this month, and give us the ability to make dua to you, yeah? And have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This month is special for making dua, because we know from the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there are three types of people whose supplication is answered. Thalathun du'at da'wat mustajabat. Thalathun da'watun mustajabat. Okay? There are three types of people whose supplication is answered. Da'wat al-sa'im, the fasting person's du'a. Da'wat al-madhloom, the oppressed one's du'a. Wa da'wat al-musafir, and the du'a of the traveler. So three types of du'a which are answered. The fasting person, when he raises his hands, and he asks Allah in the correct way, starting by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sending salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asks Allah for anything and everything. He asks Allah for anything and everything of that which is good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers his dua. And likewise for the one who is oppressed, the madhloom. And the Prophet has told us in other hadith, be careful of the dua. Be careful of the dua of the madhloom, even if that person is not a Muslim. Be wary of that. So don't cheat anybody. Don't oppress anybody. Don't trick anybody. Don't be deceptive. The oppressed one's dua, and the dua of the traveler, the person who leaves his city and travels to another city, the dua of the traveler, these are the three duas that are responded to. So this is a beautiful thing, that in the month of Ramadan, the whole month of Ramadan, the fasting person's dua is answered. So we can make dua from the moment that we start fasting until the time that we break the fast. And until we break the fast. Because there are some people who make dua specially and only at the time of iftar. There is a hadith for that, but that hadith is da'if. That hadith is weak. that hadith is weak, that dua at the time of iftar is answered. That the dua of a time of iftar is answered. This dua, this hadith is weak, da'if. Sheikh Al-Albani mentions it in Sahih Kalimat Tayyib, I think. Mentions in Kalimat Tayyib, mentions the hadith to be da'if. The authentic hadith is that the fasting person's dua is answered. And from the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radhiyallahu anhu, who said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed Allah tabarak wa ta'ala frees his worshippers, his slaves, every day and night, meaning in Ramadan. In Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees people from the hellfire. Yani, makes their qadr that they won't go to the hellfire. Indeed, every Muslim on every day and night has a supplication which is answered. Indeed, every Muslim every day and night, yani for Ramadan, has a supplication which is answered. And this is collected by Al-Bazzar, and Sheikh Al-Albani declared it Sahih li-ghayrihi in Sayyid Tarhib wa Tarhib. So indeed, every Muslim on every day and night has a supplication which is answered. So it's at all times, not specific to the time of iftar. So this is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in this month of Ramadan, that we have this aspect of making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, fasting is an eloquent lesson in seeking refuge and turning to Allah, seeking aid with Him. Fasting is a beautiful lesson because we're weak already, weak with hunger and thirst. And we turn to Allah for this strength. And we seek refuge with Allah from keeping away from that which is haram. And we seek aid with Him, requesting Him and making an apparent need of Him. And making an apparent need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, how amazing it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His complete and infinite wisdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places a verse in the Quran which deals with asking and making dua to Allah, and Allah placed that ayah between the ayat of Ramadan and fasting. So in Surah Baqarah, an ayah 186, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And when my worshippers ask you, yani ask you, O Muhammad, concerning me, then answer them, tell them, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I am indeed near to you. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ, and I respond to the one who calls on me, who makes dua to me, when he calls on me. Majibu da'wata da'i idha da'an. Yani, I respond to the invocations, the dua of the supplicant, when he calls on me. Okay? فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So let them obey me and believe in me, so that they may be led aright. They may be led the right way. So this ayah, beautiful ayah, tells us that when my slaves ask about Allah, tell them, I'm close, and I hear their dua, not physically close, as we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is completely separate from His creation, completely separate from His creation, above the heavens, on His arsh, on His kursi, is befitting His majesty. He is not a part of our creation. He is not a part of His creation. He is not here, there, and everywhere, as the Sufiya and some of the people claim. False claims. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears our dua. That's how Allah is close to us. Allah answers and responds to our dua. So this ayah is very important and very appropriate, yani, that it is mentioned amongst the ayat of Ramadan. And this is the lesson. And in Ramadan, we come closer to Allah and we seek refuge with Him, increase our iman. So after Ramadan, we are stronger Muslims. Therefore, fasting, like the Sheikh mentioned, Sheikh Muhammad, therefore, fasting is an eloquent lesson in seeking refuge and turning to Allah, seeking aid with Him, requesting Him, and making an apparent need of Him. He said, the pillars of worship become gathered in the worshipper. The pillars of worship become gathered in the worshipper, yani in himself, in his belief. Having fear of Allah, having hope in Allah, and having love for Allah. These are the pillars of worship, the arqan al-ibadah. Having fear of Allah, fearing Allah's punishment, having hope in Allah, that Allah will accept our good deeds, and doing all this with love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person is deficient in one of these things, or doesn't have one of these things, then his worship will not be correct. His worship will be of no benefit. His worship will not aid his iman. Rather, he needs to have these three pillars: the fear of Allah, hope in Allah, and love for Allah. And he said, and all this while he is in his best circumstances, wanting close to his Lord, closeness to his Lord, desiring what is with him, fearful of being deficient, striving in his own self, hoping for rectification of his soul, and it being steadfast. So this is the month of Ramadan. Month of Ramadan is the best circumstance. And a person is fasting, hoping to become closer to Allah by doing more ibadah, desiring with what is with him, yani the happiness of when we open our fast, and the happiness, inshallah, when we'll enter paradise and get rewarded, inshallah, if Allah wills for us, the reward for our sacrifices. Fearful of being deficient. He's scared, he's worried that, did I actually do everything correctly? Will Allah accept my ibadah? I need to push myself to do more to make that more complete. Striving in his own self, hoping for rectification of his soul and being steadfast. Then Sheikh Muhammad goes on to mention, he brings a statement from Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala. And Sheikh Abdulaziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, is one of the great scholars of our time, the great revivers of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. He strove in spreading the da'wah of the Kitab and the Sunnah and the way of the Salaf, calling to the Sunnah. And you can find his works in his Majmu'ah Fatawa of Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, from his writings, his lectures, his Fatawa, and the great effect it had on the Muslim Ummah. And this is something which Allah gives to those who have ikhlas. Allah gives it to them that they spread the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, the correct deen. We're not talking about these people who are YouTube scholars, or these internet scholars, or satellite channels, because the argument might be brought, oh look, such and such, he's got so many followers on YouTube, he's had so many hits on YouTube. La, we are talking about those who are on the correct way. The asl, the foundation, is to be correct. So that's why the da'wah of Daesh, ISIS, is not correct at all, because their foundation, asul, are not correct. So no matter how much they say, oh look what we've achieved, look how much they've done, and look how much they've changed, they've done more than what Ahl Saud has done, look, it's all batil, because the foundation of their aqidah is not upon what Allah wants to be worshipped, how Allah wants to be worshipped. It's not upon the belief of the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A foundation is wrong. So how can the structure be correct? How can the structure be correct? We're talking about Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimullah, a great scholar of the Muslim Ummah, whose foundation was correct and his fruits and the structure was correct. These others who claim to be, you know, scholars and claim to have so many followers, their foundation is not correct. So how can their structure be correct? So Sheikh Abdulaziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah said, from the benefits of fasting is that a worshipper gets to know his own self. That a worshipper gets to know his own self, his needs, his weaknesses, his being destitute in need of his Lord. And it reminds him of the greatest blessings of Allah upon him. Such beautiful words, such deep words. A few statements, a few words, but they're strong in meaning. This was always the way of the Salaf. The Salaf, they used to say a few words and they would have great barakah in them. Whereas the Ahlul Bidah, the Ahlul Ahwa, the people who follow their desires, they would give long, 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 long lectures and very qaleel al-barakah. But the way of the Salaf, a few statements and khalas. They would have great barakah. So from the benefits of fasting is that a worshipper gets to know his own self, his needs, his weaknesses, his being destitute to his Lord, and reminds him of the greatest blessing of Allah upon him. Subhanallah. We are weak. Allah has created us weak. And Allah has created us in need of him. Allah has created us that way. Because if we were strong and not in need, Allah has no need of us. And Allah has no need of us aslan. But Allah would not have created us. Allah created us weak, and we have a need, and a need of Allah. And the fasting reminds him of the greatest blessing of Allah upon him. Food and drink. Food and drink and security. These are the greatest blessings of Allah upon us, in the sense of the dunya. And the greatest blessing of Allah upon us is following Islam, following the deen of Islam. And the Shaykh goes on, it also reminds him of the needs of his poor brothers. Fasting also reminds him of the needs of his poor brothers. So it obligates him to have gratitude, thankfulness to Allah, as subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to seek aid with his blessings in obedience to him. To seek aid with Allah's blessings in obedience to him, and to make happy his poor brothers, to make them happy, and being kind to them. Fasting reminds us that look at the state that I'm in. And what about my other Muslim brothers, the poor ones? What state must they be in if they're like this every day? So it pushes us to make them happy, be good to them, and be kind to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates to this. Sheikh bin Baz says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates to these benefits in the saying of Allah azza wa jal, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala al-ladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqoon. O you who believe, observing fasting, sawm, is prescribed for you, written for you, as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become al-muttaqoon, pious, in Surah Baqarah, ayah 183. The Shaykh says, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified that he obligated fasting upon us so that we have taqwa of him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this proves that fasting is a means for piety, taqwa. Inshallah, this aspect of taqwa we're going to cover in the next lesson, inshallah, bi'idhnillah, from this book. Because Sheikh Muhammad bin Ghalib mentions this point of taqwa and the need of taqwa in the next lesson. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified that he obligated fasting upon us so that we would have taqwa of him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this proves that fasting is a means of piety and taqwa. Then our Shaykh Muhammad, he continues, he says, indeed, seeking refuge and turning to Allah is the path of those believers who obey Allah with humility. Seeking refuge, making dua to Allah and turning to Allah is the path of those believers who obey Allah with humility. Now, one point needs to be mentioned. It's not necessary that a person raises his hands to make dua. a person can make dua without raising his hands. Okay? But raising the hands and making dua is better, is more humble from the practice of the Prophet ﷺ. But it's not necessary that a person makes dua by raising his hands all the time. Okay, so this is the path of those believers who obey Allah with humility. And he continues, and the way of the honest, obedient ones with sincere devotion, which is actions of the Prophet ﷺ and his guidance. He would teach it to his companions. From that what is from his Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's teachings for the one who goes to sleep. And from that is what is from his teachings and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from his teachings for the one who goes to sleep. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would teach, this is from his guidance, and he would teach it to his companions. Just like we mentioned about Khutbat al-Hajjah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said he used to teach it to his companions like he used to teach at the Shahud. And he used to teach the Prophet ﷺ used to teach this dua, which the Shaykh will mention, that, you know, this devotion, this obedience to Allah and turning to Allah with humility. And the Prophet ﷺ taught them this when they would go to sleep. So the Shaykh mentions from the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, when you come to your sleeping place, yani when you go to sleep, you go to your bed, then make wudu like the wudu you made for prayer. Make wudu like the wudu that you make for prayer. Then lie down on your right hand and say. Okay, so when you go to sleep, before going to sleep, it is recommended to make a wudu like the wudu you make for prayer. So you're on tahara. Then lie down on your right side. Okay, and say, Allahumma aslamtu nafsi ilayk. O Allah, I have submitted myself to you. Aslamtu nafsi ilayk. Wa wajahtu wajhi ilayk. And I have turned my face towards you with the purpose of worship. Yani, I've placed myself to you. Or my matters to you. Wa fawwadtu amri ilayk. I have returned all my affairs, all my matters to you. وَالْجَأْتُ ذَهْرِ إِلَيْكَ. I have entrusted all my matters to you. رَغْبَةً رَحْمَةً إِلَيْكَ. I have entrusted all my matters to you with a strong desire of your reward and having dread of you, of your punishment. La malja wa la manja minka illa ilayk. There's no refuge or salvation except to you. Amantu bi kitabik. I have believed in your book. Alladhi anzalta, which you have revealed. Wa bi nabiyyaka alladhi arsalt. And in the prophet whom you sent. So this is the dua that the Prophet ﷺ used to teach his companions to say before going to sleep. And this dua shows us how a Muslim has humility and humbleness and a turning to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because the whole way through the dua, everything that you mention in this dua, going to sleep, is turning back to Allah, is putting it, all the matters in the hands of Allah, submitting yourself to Allah, relying upon Allah, trusting upon Allah. It shows us humility and humbleness. Humility and humbleness. Our Shaykh Rabi ibn Hadi al-Madkhili, Hafadhu Allah Ta'ala, the great Imam in Hadith and Jarh wa Ta'dil and propagating the Sunnah and refuting the Ahlul Bidah, he mentioned a very nice point. And if a person understands that point and he applies that point, subhanallah, inshallah he will not become deviated. Inshallah he will not become deviated. He will not go away from the truth. The Sheikh said, when a person realizes how small and insignificant he is to the majesty and the magnificence of Allah, he will never feel himself proud and arrogant. If a person realizes and understands how small and insignificant he is to the magnificence and the greatness of Allah, he will never become proud and arrogant about himself. Subhanallah, beautiful words. Words that should be written down with gold. Written down in gold. Because it stops a person becoming bigger than what he really is. It humbles a person to where he really is and doesn't make himself arrogant or proud that he will reject the truth. That he will reject the truth because he realizes how magnificent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and how clear the truth is, that he doesn't become arrogant to the truth. Then the hadith mentions, the Prophet said, if you died on that night, after saying this dua, if you died on that night, then you would have died upon the natural disposition of Islam, ala fitrat al-Islam, the natural disposition of Islam. That's how, when a child is born, is born on the natural disposition, the natural fitra of Islam. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, make it the last thing that you say before sleeping. Make it the last thing before you start falling asleep. Subhanallah, it's a beautiful dua. This is collected by Abu Dawood and authenticated by Sheikh Al-Albani. So this Sheikh Muhammad goes on to mention, this dua explains the need of the worshipper to his Lord and a strong desire of what is with Allah, the dire need of the worshipper of his protector. Ramadan is a season for dua. So the believer requests his needs. So he turns to Allah with a strong desire and takes advantage of the seasons of goodness for making dua. Here the Sheikh ends with this lesson. May Allah reward the dear brothers and sisters for listening, and may Allah reward the Muslims in this month of Ramadan, and make this an opportunity for, may Allah make this, give us this capability to make this an opportunity for us to make dua to Allah and turn to Allah and ask Allah and request Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our needs and for the needs of our Muslim brothers and sisters everywhere. May Allah reward the brothers who, sisters who organized these lectures. Jazakum Allahu khairan for listening. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Anta astaghfiruka wa atubu alayk.